Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have David Purcell back on the show. David and I are old shipmates, so to speak, from back in the day. We got reacquainted, reunion of sorts, at the by now legendary Full Disclosure Now conference, where I met a bunch of fabulous people, David included. So I thought I'd bring David back to the show. He can brief us on what's been going on lately, and we'll go from there. So without any further ado, David, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple months since we last spoke. A lot has happened, not just on my end. Cosmically has also happened, so we're going to get into that as well. So, I think I'll start with the biggest one. So, at the conference before, after I met you, we had that dinner right afterwards, and that's. I was talking to my then friend, my new friend, his name is Chris, and he was telepathically talking to Valiant Thor. Now, I didn't know Valiant Thor was even real or even anything about him. Because I was, they were talking and I started laughing. And Chris says to me, he goes, "Why are you laughing?" I go, "Oh, because that was funny." I didn't realize that those two were talking telepathically, and I had just overheard the conversation. Because for me, I thought he was like literally over my shoulder, just talking to him like across the room.
Oh, okay.
So he was kind of, and they were both kind of surprised that I could start talking to them. So I started interacting with him a little bit more. Over the time, I got to see and talk to Valiant Thor, and I realized, should I start with the concept of who Valiant Thor is, or should?
Yeah, because my limited understanding of him, Frank Strange has wrote a book about him, Stranger in the Pentagon. So I
Yes.
take it you're referring to the same. Okay,
Well,
please
yes.
continue.
Okay. So Valiant Thor is, I believe, I want to say either a Pleiadian or a Volodian. And Valiant Thor is not one person. Valiant Thor is a title. So that's why when people say that they see different versions of him, they are literally seeing different versions of him because Valiant Thor is, like I said, it's a military title equivalent to captain. So basically, what happened after he showed me his story. During World War II, the Germans had contact with the Draco and other species. So another more positive species decided to go help the Allies and give them stuff as well. He was one of those who came by and helped them. After that, he became an unofficial liaison to the Pentagon. They would have him do like handle inner Earth stuff, where he would be in charge of who species would come to a thing. He was the one who wanted to do the 100-Year Disclosure Act, which was basically to get humans ready for interstellar contact in the next 100 years by slowly leaking stuff through and getting them primed and ready to accept that. The plans he had made did not go exactly as he wanted to, and he had to recently change them. Because he had other Valiant Thors, the original one from World War II retired and moved on to another one. So he has what is called, it's basically the right of family. So he's an officer and he's allowed to have his family do certain jobs and fill in certain tasks. It's a fancy way of nepotism, but that's how it works for them. So unfortunately, one of the people that he had working for him was not in alignment with his goals, and he was doing a lot of stuff that he shouldn't have been doing. And eventually got arrested for it and then removed from office. Then Valiant Thor, the original one, had to go around and literally trying to clean up all the messes that this guy had made. This is why, because part of the deals was there was a certain amount of people that could be abducted, but they could only be done certain things too. They were all violated. None of the rules were filed by any side, because once one side was like, well, if they're not going to reinforce it, why should we? So that's why everyone was going nuts, doing all the taking peoples and everything like that. And so he finally put an end to it recently. And what he told me was that he had originally, like I said, planned for, and this was going back into around Eisenhower. That so for the 100-year war, for that would be the 100-year disclosure, that would be that. But he's now going to speed it up from what he told me. He said he's in 2028, he's going to take the bottom out and just let everything fall because he's tired of all the crap that's going on, and he's just ready to start fresh. So he's been going around. It's not just on Earth, because Earth made lots of deals. The governments made lots of deals with ETs who were not supposed to be here, doing lots of stuff that they should not have been doing, and he's also ending those. So a lot of the ETs, the negative ones, or interdimensional beings are now trying very hard to get people to entangle with them so they can keep the contracts going. They can, because all the contracts are going to be voided very soon as well. So it's, yeah, because it's like if you made it, you know, because he made the contracts in good faith and they're not honoring them. And he's like, well, if you're not going to honor them, then I'm not honoring it either. So he's going to just decide. And plus, humans have moved forward quicker than he expected, to the point where it's not even the point that they're okay with ETs. It's like more like they don't even care at this point. It's like, yes, we get there with all ETs, but we don't really care anymore. So they're like, that's kind of even better than what they wanted. Because a lot of the ETs, the positive ones, don't want to be worshipped. They don't want to have that thing because they're their own people as well. They just may have more technologically advanced. They may be more psionically active, but they are still people, flesh and blood, even though some of them have modifications and all that other stuff. But the good ones do not want to be worshipped. They want us to stay in our own sovereignty. And, you know, some of them actually, I was actually surprised recently to find out that capitalism is out there in the universe. Like that's like it's not the capitalism we have, like because we don't actually have capitalism. We have some form of crony capitalism, socialism, communism, just complete mix that's just being held together by a few people. No, their actual one is you build something and you know have and you pay people for the worth, and it's not like top down, bottom up. It's from what they said that everyone on their planet, if you like do like 2 to 4 years for their service or military or whatever, you're basically taken care of for the rest of your life. You get your free housing and everything like that. Now, if you want like a better house or a nicer stuff, you can go get another job and pay for it yourself. But these are all basics, all basic living requirements are met. From so that's I'm like great. And he was also explaining how some of the banking systems work and how the currency works. Each planet has their own, even though that they have replicators and stuff like that, but they still have the currency to them specific, and there is like a galactic currency as well. So I was just like really surprised that the capitalism actually worked out there, because I figured, you know, if you have all this replicators and all this stuff, why would you need that? You can just make what you need. But they said no, for the replicators, you still need to have a base resource to act to, so you can put them something like you can duplicate certain materials, but you need a base material for it to be duplicated off, so of a certain amount.
So there would be some trade and
Yes.
some form of currency exchange for
Yes.
goods and or services, just like here, but done in a way that doesn't compromise any of the parties involved.
Yes, and I thought that was like really impressive, and I was just that was just like one of the hardest things for me to realize, because I grew up on Star Trek, and I'm like, they don't have capitalism, they have replicators. What do they need money for? So, but he was explaining, you know, we can replicate stuff, but we still need resources and stuff, and then there's other things that are like, it'll be like leases for land or planets or something like along those lines, or mining rights, something along those lines. So.
Well, there may or may not have been something like that on our planet, and certainly in our solar system, because it does seem that there have been extensive mining operations by someone or something. Some of the overhead imagery suggests underwater excavations or mining
Yeah.
operations beneath the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest part of the ocean.
Right. And they have done that. That was, and I recently found out because I was talking to someone a minute ago, who's very interested in this, and he goes, I go, here's what I don't understand. For all these species that have all this stuff, why are they so obsessed with the gold and all the other the hoarding stuff? It makes no sense to me, because gold's only valuable if you're using it. Like if you're actually putting it in towards electronics or something like that, or the healings, whatever. And he said that those people were genetic, those families were genetically bred to hoard it. Like, because it was a leftover from when the Anunnaki came by and basically altered our species to, let's just say, make us more docile and slave-like and shorten our lives and give us a bunch of other problems just to make sure that we couldn't access our full abilities. So we're in the process of shedding some of that ability, some of that stuff. Some of it's coming back, some of it's not. But I also found out the reason that most humans don't have access to their full psychic potential is because back in the 1960s, there was when the Nakhwafen was doing their little time travel experiments, they had found a weapon from the leftover from the Orion system or Orion Wars. It's basically a giant psychic dampener that is in our atmosphere, but it's not. It's a combination of in and out. It's in a state of quantum flux, and that's why we can't do it. What they basically did, they turned, they didn't, they turned, they jerry-rigged it back on because it had been turned off for a while because the war ended like, well, thousands of years ago was going on, but it was just one of those leftovers. And they put it back up there. And I've been working with Hajimal. Hajimal is a Sasquatch from Tartaria. He is a professor of the proper use of psionics. And he was telling me about this, and I said, cool, I'll go right now and see if I can take it down. And he says, no, not you can't do that by yourself. If you go to it right now, you're going to be hurt really, really bad. What needs to happen is it needs to be, because it's in a state of is and is not, it needs to be brought into this reality. So what you need to do is get have a bunch of people concentrate on bringing it into this reality, then turning it off. And I go, okay, how many people do we actually need for that? And he said, well, you roughly need about a third of your population on Earth to concentrate on it and to turn it off. And I said, geez, getting about a third of our population to do anything is going to be amazing. I was like, it'd be really difficult, especially if there's not boobs involved. And he's like, yeah, that's a pretty big thing. And I said, well, what about the other species that are on Earth? And he goes, yes, we're trying to work with them and get them going. Some of the ones, the inner Earth people, and the other interspecies ones, they're all trying to help. But we've also needed for the humans to do it as well. So that's something that we're planning on doing in the next couple of years, is taking that thing down so we can actually have our abilities back. And one of the things we'll be doing that, because I recently joined a group called the Council for Human Sovereignty. And what we're trying to do is make sure that because of all the ET influence and stuff like that, that we are sovereign beings, and we're trying to give out people advice for people that are being targeted and hurt with these beings to actually just make sure. We're also looking for new members. So, I mean, I can give you the link later if you can, put that in there. And then we just want people who generally care about humanity, care about the earth, and don't want to get involved in pointless battles. That's the minimum stuff.
Yeah, the enough people were briefed on the basics of the matter. I think
Yeah.
most
And
people on
that's,
planet Earth would go along with that.
yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And Valiant Thor was also like wanting us to get involved in that one, to make sure, because a lot of the ETs, the positive ones, want us to be sovereign beings. They don't want to be overlords. They don't want to have to be babysitters. I want to be very clear on that. Even though that these beings are positive and beneficial, they're not our saviors. The Earth is our responsibility. Our lives are our responsibility, not theirs. They can come in and help or try to help, but it's ultimately up to us to do it. And they can't do it for us, and they won't do it for us.
That is a message that needs to sink into a lot of people, because there seems to be still at this relatively late stage, as I see it, this notion that one or more friendly alien races are going to come here and pull our chestnuts out of the fire, so to speak, right? Which
That's
kind
not
of
going to
implies
happen.
that we're helpless and incapable of doing it ourselves, right?
We are not helpless, and we are quite capable of doing it. It's going to be very difficult to do because they have like literally thousands of years of systems put in place, from religion to government to schooling to bio, in some cases biology. So there's a lot we have to do. We're doing it. I mean, we are making improvements. I've noticed that because a lot of the ETs have said, no, the fact that you guys have done as much as you have done basically in the last 100 years, despite going through all this crap, you're still going forward, and some of you are still even excelling. That is truly remarkable. So they were like really, some of them are really impressed by it. But now there's also the old guard who don't want to lose their power because they've been in charge for so long. And now that people are becoming sovereignty and realizing, wait, so we've been lied to for thousands of years and all this other crap, and we've been feeding you guys. So what I mean by you guys, there are certain species who feed on the misery, who literally feed on the energy that we produce from all this horrible stuff. They really like keeping us in that state of fear. And one of the messages that I always got early on when I talked to the ETs was, they would always say, do not operate in fear. Stop hurting yourself, stop hurting each other, and stop hurting your planet. That was the four basic things that they always said to me in the beginning, because those are very important things that people need to understand. I understand it's very simple, but those are things that really matter, because I also found out we as humans are co-creators of species. Like, we have the ability to create our own realities and our own existences. No matter how beaten down we are, every human has that ability to do that, because we are from the source creator. They all tell us the same thing. It's like, you can do things we cannot do. And a lot of times these beings have kept us in these programmings that we have these belief systems, but the reality is they don't. They're using us to do that. A perfect example of this would be, I recently found out, for the last 40 years, the ETs, both positive and negative, had been using me against my will. Just because an ET is positive does not mean it does not have a conflicting agenda. That's another thing you have to be really clear on. So I found out they were using me to create a bunch of tuplas. Now, a tupla is a mental image, or a telepathic weapon, or basically a structure made from the mind. And they were using that to manipulate me and keep me down. I realized that they were literally using me to hold me back. Like, I was the only one who could actually hold me back. So they literally were having me create tuplas for the last 40 years, so of mental illness and all the other problems, and they were using them. And I found this out because I was talking to one of my other friends, and she's a very, very, very strong person. And one of the things she told me, she goes, "Don't hold space for anything that doesn't benefit you." And I said, okay, and I started thinking it over, and I started saying that more and more and meaning it. And I would say that in the mirror every day. I will not hold space for anything that doesn't benefit me in this life. And things started changing. I started letting go of frequencies that I didn't tell me. I literally had found that that ETs and a bunch of other groups had put sigils all over my body to mark me, and they were using me. That's how I found out that I'd been used for 40 years. Recently, as I was letting go of all these frequencies and shedding this stuff, I saw a sigil on my arm, upper left arm, and it was a Freemason sigil. As soon as I opened it up and ripped it off, the Freemasons appeared to me in the astral form, and I realized that when I was 3 years old, I had gone to Sesame Place in Pennsylvania with my family, and I went to the bathroom, and they found me in the bathroom, and they took me there. And they referred to me as their beautiful boy. So that'll show you who they are. And apparently they were using me to, they said, "We needed you because without you, we would have died and we wouldn't have been around." So apparently they were using my abilities to do stock markets, which is why I always hated the stock market. They were using me to do for that. And they were using me for psychic projections and all the other. Yeah, they were using me for psychic projections and all the other stuff. So they were doing that. And it was like, "Well, if you want to come back, you'll always be welcome with us." And I'm like, "I will never come back to you. You are vile creatures and you will never use me again." Then I found out that I was being used to, they call it healing. Apparently, there were several beings that were inside of me that were using me to, because they couldn't deal with their own life. So they had to learn how to be not so monstrous, and they were using me. So, like, a lot of the problems I actually thought were mine were theirs. One of them, of course, was the mantises, because that's what the fuck they always do that shit. I had several mantises actually inside of me that were living on me and basically using me as a co-host. One of them, like I said, apparently was a leftover from the Orion Wars, and he was a psychotic general. And he couldn't, and he they he couldn't just he couldn't let go of it. He was stuck in that war frame. So they put apparently merged fused his soul with mine. So everything I was feeling and he was feeling, but I was most of his stuff was his. So when I realized it was him, I separated from him, and he literally popped out of me. And it was a black mantis, and he was a very, very dangerous psychotic thing. And I tried to talk to him for a little bit, because I learned, about the loving and healing and all the energy, and he pissed me off. And so I asked him what his name was. Now, the mantis's names are generally very important to them. Well, most species of like that height, because apparently if you say their name, you can like bind them or lock them to a frequency, so they don't really want to give out names. And his name was very important to him. So I remember he's like literally talking on the side of me, and on my wall I see two Pleiadian military guards just standing there watching him. And I say, "So what's your name?" And he goes, my name, you can't pr pronounce my name, stupid monkey. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna call you Jimmy. And the Pleiadians laugh because when you apparently when we give them names, that'll be their government file for the rest of their life. So whatever eagle name he now had, he is now known as Jimmy. And he did not like that. So he pissed him off. Then I had what was it? It might have been. There is a species that I'm not going to mention that was used on me to also because there was another problem with the war. Apparently, I have very few much connections to these wars, so they used me to heal him, and he finally decided that enough was enough and that he released all the bonds and then separated from me and then all the as soon as I separated the mantis from me. The other man, I called for true benevolent mantises to come help him just in case, because, like, I don't know what else to do with this guy. I mean, I'm not going to hold him for any more. And so they came in over and they all said, oh, thank you so much, David. Our prince is back. Our prince is back. Thank you. And I got really, really annoyed because I found out that, like I said, 40 years of my life going through crap wasn't my life. It wasn't my stuff. It wasn't my pain. It wasn't my anger. It was. Well, it was my anger, but it was being amplified and fed upon and manipulated because I had all these other beings inside of me. So I've been clearing them out recently, which is just, I just felt so violated and stuff like that. And I was like, well, no, you agreed to it. You I mean you did a good thing. You our people are healed because of you. We will honor our agreements. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. Just get out of me and leave me alone. Then so I was doing that for the last couple months. And then in February, apparently the mantis have some type of sensation festival. So what it basically is the mantises will go around and get sensations from different species, and then they will bring these sensations to their people, and whoever has the most enjoyable sensations will get accolades or something in their society. I would, because I had this one black mantis come over to me, and he was literally the equivalent of a meth addict who broke into my house. He wanted me to drink a bunch of soda. I don't like soda because he wanted the feeling. And I had another mantis. I had another mantis a couple days later come in. I had this incredible urge to make an ice cream sundae. Now, I like my ice cream nice and plain and boring. I don't want anything fancy on it, but I made this beautiful ice cream sundae with everything enough. I was the kind of person who took photos. I would have gotten 1,000 likes easy. That's how beautiful it came out. So I realized what was happening, that the mantises were using me as a sensation so they can get that. So what I did was I made this beautiful ice cream sundae, took it, sniffed it, then put it over the side and just watched it melt. And the mantises were literally having a withdrawal factor going, why are you doing that? Why can't you just eat it? It's like, it would feel so good because they wanted the sensation for that. So then I had another one come after me, and she was a little bit small, I would say smarter and more reserved than the attic one that I had just dealt with. And she's like, oh, okay, I get it. You should probably go hug your puppy. And I'm like, you know what? That's great. I am going to go hug my dog. But what I did was I said, I'm going to hug my dog. My senses are mine. My sensations are mine. You don't get to have any of them. And she got really angry about that one too, because she's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I was like, I am not going to be your sensation puppet. If you want to get human sensations, you can go live in a human body and have them that way. I'm not going to do it for your little society. It has no benefit to me. Plus, if I drank all that soda and stuff like that, I'd be in a diabetic coma. There's no what all the cavities and stuff like that. So I've been going through all that and just basically clearing out a lot of space and realizing that a lot of the entities that I used to work with did not have my best interest at heart. They may have respected me at some point, but like I always say, they have their own agendas, and they were just using me to get what they wanted. And I'm not playing those games anymore. And that also goes back to the entanglement and the co-creating thing, because I had mantises that were living inside of me, and they like literally like birthed one of them. It was a young juvenile. And I said, and they one of the things they wanted me to do, his parents showed up. These were big, tall, 12-foot-tall ones. And they go, here, and they bring him over to me, and they're like, play Dungeons and Dragons with him. And I'm like, I am not playing Dungeons and Dragons, nor am I babysitting your child after the violation that I went through And then I'm like, oh, well, I see you're not ready for this yet. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for this, and I'm not going to be, because what you did to me was a violation, and I'm not going to be babysitting the violation just because you two want to go out and have a good night. It's your problem, not mine. And they got really upset and left. So that's just, the kind of, because this also goes back to what I was saying about the contracts being up, that they're trying to get people to entangle with them. They're trying to co-create for with them, because if they don't co-create, their timelines, their contracts are all up. And they're like, well, what's going to happen to us? I'm like, well, you're not going to be my problem, and that's all I know. And I'm going to have a nice, fulfilling life. So.
I wonder how many people have similar issues. I was reading Robert Monroe's book, and also there was corroborating information I heard from elsewhere. Trying to remember the context, but it had to do with entities in the astral realms. Some of them that were deceased, they were like earthbound spirits. And they had a similar issue. They would latch on to someone, say if in the physical incarnation, the most recent physical incarnation, a spirit that was trapped on an earthly plane was a raging alcoholic. Well, what it would do was it and many others like it tended to hang out in bars, pubs,
Yes.
places like that, and then they would find people. Like a raving drunk type individual, and then latch onto them, and then, like what you said, vicariously feed and nourish, sustain themselves, and even encourage the person, right? And
Yes.
if you're familiar with the story, I'm pretty sure it's Robert Monroe, but in his sagas, but I can't be sure. But they had to expel this. Like Native American spirit out of somebody. And the Native American back in the day when it was in physical incarnation was a raging alcoholic, right? So they had to find a way to eject this out of somebody in order for them to lose their cravings, right? And then
Yes.
also in Barbara Bartlett's research, and I corroborated this myself through my own investigations. And also, there's a big background of this when it comes to drugs and magic and using certain, as you know,
Yes.
plant medicines. All these ancient traditions around the world where people would use certain plant medicines to commune and open the third eye, etc. Well, it was similar to that, but on a different parallel kind of dark track, right? And it
Yes.
involved substance abuse, and in particular, methamphetamine. And
Yeah.
what some of these beings, especially the or parasitic types, some of the greys, reptilians, Draco, what have you, they loved getting people strung out on certain drugs. Because not only did it facilitate taking them up as a host, but also their senses, their paranoia were amplified, intensified. And also by being in that state of vibration, it synced up. With the frequency bandwidth of these parasitic beings, not only did it facilitate the hosting, but certainly the intrusive thoughts,
Yes.
putting all certain images into the person's mind, right? So there's definitely a process of disentanglement that needs to be undertaken. And I would say, and I've said this in recent podcasts, that as time goes on, we're seeing more and more people here on the surface. All over the world, getting hosted, becoming deviant, becoming violent. And I think we're at an all-time high. With the amount of people left still left in the surface population, there's a significant percentage of them that have this kind of issue. Most of them are completely oblivious to it too, David. That's the scary part.
Well, the reason that stuff's going on is because what we're looking at right now in the world and all these wars and stuff like that is literally a dying beast trying to hold on power. From what I understand, because I had some ETs telling me that because they were from the they said they were from the future or different or ahead of time because they can time travel, and they said all that's going on right now is a dying beast trying to hold on power. They've lost. They know that they've lost. In the higher dimensions, because apparently in the higher dimensions, time goes differently. So that stuff's already happened. So it's all working way down there. And that's why they're attacking everything right now, because they're trying to do as much damage and anchor as much people to their reality as instead of the other ones that people are actually moving on to. So all the stuff that they're going through, even though it's completely brutal and horrible, is utterly pointless because they've already lost.
Yes, it seems to me that a lot of the things that they're hybridized, reptilian Draco hybrid Muppets, the plantation
Oh,
managers, what they're doing is seems to be an act of desperation. That doesn't seem
it
to be any
100% is.
logic
And
to it at all.
the interesting thing is that you mentioned the Draco. Now, the Draco were supposedly these badasses for thousands and thousands of years. And because of that, their whole breeding cycle and everything like that, there are less than currently 200,000 that can actually breed. The whole race has gone sterile. Most of the race has gone sterile, and the Galactics have basically announced that within 80 years to 100 years, the Draco are going to be gone. They cannot sustain their population. They have just the DNA is so damaged that they can't actually reproduce anymore. They've been doing cloning for a while. Now there are clone Draco here on Earth that are not with the actual Draco. There are many different types of Draco factions. The Dracos are not united at all. They are basically a fractured force. And a lot of the groups that were, let's just say, hesitant to attack them, now that they've been shown to be weak and a dying species, they're all going, well, we're not going to let that stay around. It's like, if they're weak now, we're going after them. And so that's what happened back in October. There was a massive, the aquatic Dracos were defeated. There are the aquatic Dracos, and there are the regular Dracos, and then there were the feathered dinosaur ones that kind of look like those. So what happened was the aquatic ones were beaten and they were completely wiped out. The regular Dracos then decided, well, if they're not going to be in charge, we can do it. So that went on. So the attacks went from October to about December, and a lot of people got hit really, really hard because they were trying to get as much food as they can for their armies to go on. But a lot of people were just, like I said, and that's what happened through the communities. They were attacked because of that. But unfortunately, they lost a lot of numbers and a lot of people took over. Now they're trying to figure out who's going to be the next dominant species in the universe. And it seems to be that, from what everyone's looking at, it seems to be that the dog men are going to take over next. Which I'm not thrilled with, but like I said, I'm.
I was just thinking about the dogmen last night as I lay there in bed, and I was, pondering what I was going to talk to you, and later on I'm going to have Josh Turner from Paranormal Roundtable on the show, and we're definitely going to get into a dogman discussion. But I got to wondering, and not that it's really relevant, but we know that, like in Australia, for example, there's a mountain here that looks for all the world like a huge mountain-sized Yowie slash Sasquatch, sitting leaning back against the mountain, like it would just sat down and then it became petrified, like some cataclysm happened. There he is for eternity, right? So I got to thinking, if that's at least how big some of them get, and for all we know, there's some that are probably much bigger than that. How big do these dogmen get, right? Is there like
The ones
a
I've seen, they range from anywhere from about 5 feet to, I've seen ones to about 20 feet tall. But there are different species of dogmen. There's ones that the big 20 footers look like Anubis. Those are the Anubis looking ones. They look like Anubis. The other ones will look like werewolves or dogs. Some of them, I found one. Apparently, I got yelled at one by one, who seems to be a relative of mine, from another life. She looks like a Shiba Inu. I don't know if you know what that dog is.
No, I'll look it up. What is it called again?
A Shiba Inu, it's a Japanese breed.
You mean one of those orange-looking Dogecoin type
Yes.
dogs? Oh,
Yeah.
I always
So,
wondered what they were called.
yeah, so she was wearing a traditional Japanese style kimono, and she was yelling at me, going, "How dare you forget me?" And I was like, "Auntie?" And she's like, "Yeah, oh, now you remember me." And I'm like, "I'm in a different dimension. We can go on a little frequencies." And she goes, "That's no excuse. You should know who I am."
I'm glad she remembered. Well, that potentially that means at least And to be sure, there could be factions in every species that we're connected to at some level, but at least, she has your back, right? And whoever is friendly to her.
Well, then, so I currently right now I live in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania is swarming with reptilians. And there's also a bunch of other Sasquatch here too, but mainly where I am was reptilians. I found out that when I moved here, I wasn't supposed to move to this particular house. I was hijacked, and the beings thought that they could feed off me and my mother, who's also very powerful. But after the last 2, 3 years, I've gotten rid of most of them around me, to the point where, because I would always tell them, look, just leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. I don't care what you do outside, just stay away from me. It's a very simple concept. They couldn't understand that. They kept trying to attack me and feed after me. And so recently, like I said, I've been getting rid of most of them. I just, deal with them astrally. And then I also found other techniques where, like, sealing them into certain things, which they don't like. If you put them in a cage, like a telepathy mental cage, they don't like that. The other thing I would do is if they really pissed me off, I would put them in a pink dress, and because they cannot handle that. Like that just breaks them. And another time, so I was getting more and more better at the visualization and telepathy and dealing with them. And I would always like I could beat them, no problem. I could, do what I needed to do, make the weapons, whatever. But I would never really, humiliate them or never trash talk them because I never really liked that. I mean, it was always enough that I just put you down on the ground and I don't have to verbally abuse you. I found out that I actually did it because it actually breaks their spirit more when you physically and verbally humiliate them. So what I would do is after I would capture some of them, I would put them in a big old cage, and I would have like this old 1900s like people like going through a circus, and they would be saying, "Oh, look at this stupid little thing," or and I would have like I have this whole scene of like a kid going, "Mommy, that thing's sad. I don't want to be here. Let's go on the Ferris wheel." And I'd have some like old drunk guy going, "I paid 10 cents to see you dance, your damn freaking thing." And so I'm watching this thing literally just go in the corner and just go into this depressive state. I'm like, I think I may have went too far on that one. Now, the reason I say this is because I was getting attacked for so long. I had to close all the portals, like, because where I moved was a colony, like a giant colony of reptilians. Like, I cleared them out. It took me a while, but I finally got most of them out. Once in a while, I'll get like a small one that tries to sneak in or something like that. And the small ones are the problem because I don't see them anymore, because like they're that small. Like, they'd be like maybe 2 to 3 feet, and they're on the ground. So like, if I'm not looking for them, but I can usually figure out where they are. So, a couple of weeks ago, after being cleared out for a while, I get a message, and this message is from the leader of their colony. And I can tell right away he's the leader of a colony because he's stronger, he's bigger, and he's all the other, he's like more he's more put together than the other ones. The other ones are more feral at times, because they're and apparently on different planets they're not as feral, but on Earth they're all messed up. So he literally comes to me and I say, "Well, before you say anything, because as soon as before I have any interaction with any species, I always say, are you here in true benevolence without any conflicting agendas? If you're not that, we're not going to talk, because that's a form of entanglement. The more they'll talk to you isn't a form of entanglement." And I says, and he goes, "Yes, I am here and without conflicting agendas." And I was like, "Okay, so this is interesting. What do you want to talk about?" He goes, "A while ago, you said if we leave you alone, you'll leave us alone. Is that true?" I go, "Yes, that is 100% true. If you leave me alone, I will leave you alone." And he goes, "We're leaving." So he took his people and left, because apparently I was really killing too many of them, and his army was going away. He didn't have much of an army. His stupid brother came after me, and he told and I said, "What about him?" He goes, "He is not with us anymore. He has his own thing." So his brother came after me. I got rid of him and his little forces and that stuff. But yeah, so that's what's going on right now. It's because and then the other day I had to deal with, because we were all getting attacked. Me, my friends that are all doing this. Apparently, the group that we didn't like us is a military base in Nebraska underground. That is where they were based from. And I kept identifying them and taking it back to them. So they decided, they told me, my friend, that they said, "Listen, we're sick of all of you acting up and not falling in line. When one of you acts up, we're going to punish the entire group now." And I'm like, Okay, first off, I don't know who the rest of these people are. So if I'm getting punished for something that I didn't do, I would like to at least meet two people I'm getting punished for, because I think that's only reasonable. So, but that's the well, that's who does a lot of the attacking, is there's a base in Nebraska, where like underground base. And because I was trying to get, I'm trying to get out of here and trying to move, because I do not want to be here. I do not like it here. The people are nice, but I'm sick of all the reptilians. I'm sick of the drive commutes. I'm in central Pennsylvania. I'm sick of all the mountains and all that stuff. I want something, better, more. And I got contacted by a dogman recently, and he comes to me and he says, "You can come here, my bro. Come here, brother. We'll treat you well. You'll be cared for and loved." And I'm like, "Okay." Now at this point, I am just so happy not to be dealing with anything reptilian, and I'm just like, "Cool. This is just, yeah." So, and I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! What about the?" I said, "Yeah, that's really cool about the loving and having a nice place and everything like that. What about that giant ominous military base behind you?" And he goes, "Oh, that? We were hoping you would take care of that for us." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, sorry. I thank you for thinking that I can do that, but that's a little bit more than I want to deal with right now. I just want to have like a normal life." And then that's what I was trying to do, because I got attacked so hard in the last couple of months that I just wanted to walk away. I didn't want to deal with any ETs. I didn't want to deal with any of the stuff. I wasn't doing any healings for anybody. I wasn't doing any research. I was just in a state of just trying to exist, just trying to have out a life. And they kept hitting me harder and harder, and I got to the point where I realized, you're like, if you guys are just going to attack me either way, I'm going to give you a reason why you're going to be pissed off at me. My spiteful nature took over. So we've been
You
having that.
mentioned the military base to the dog man. Was that a human military base?
There are humans in it, but it is a reptilian one.
Oh, okay. A reptilian military base. Okay.
Yeah, it's underground in Nebraska. It's sort of there's a the military base is large, but it's a co-base. It's like there's a human faction on there, but there's also the Draco are in charge of that one. But this Draco is cloned. They're not even the real ones. So it's the human military, but a clone Draco.
And do these clone Draco, are they doing their own thing, or are they subject to the human military, or are they aligned with them in some way?
It's difficult to get a reading on them, because every time I go anywhere near them, I get attacked really hard, really, really hard, because they don't want me there. So, from what I understand, there's a Draco force that is commanding the base, and that our humans are substance, but they're also supposedly working for the humans as well, or the SSP ones. So, I don't it, take it what you want with that one. So, it's a mess of a situation.
You want to physically move to Nebraska?
Well, I was talking to one of my friends about opening a psychic school or a school for healing, and she had said that she had thought it was going to be in Peru, and I said I thought it was going to be in Nebraska. Then I did a quick Google search, and it turns out there's a Peru, Nebraska.
Didn't know that. What's the nearest big city?
I don't remember, but it's basically a college town right now where it is.
Okay, I'll look it up. Interesting.
Yeah, but there's a base very, very close to that one. And I'm like, I don't want to be in that close proximity to that base. I mean, if they're hitting me and I'm like, what, three or four states away right now, I'm not going to go in their backyard without a full battalion or something like that. So that's, and so yeah. And then I was also doing some research for someone, and I found out about the Mars base, which right now they're looking at me and waiting to see how much I'll actually say about the Mars base. Which is, I'm not going to say too much, because I don't really want to, because like I don't want to get really attacked right now, but there is a massive military space on Mars. Massive. And they do a lot of stuff over there that they shouldn't be doing.
What group or faction is this that you're referring to?
This would be a combination of the German Martians and the reptilians as well. And some of the grays and some other ones that I'm not going to mention, just because if you mention them, they shall appear, and I don't want to do that.
So they got an existing base where they're conducting operations out of it at the present time.
Yes. Yes. And this is where they do a lot of their time travel and cloning and weapons testing and that stuff. The base is huge.
The underground, I suppose.
Part of it is underground, yes.
And the other groups that have bases on Mars, are they aware of this? They keep a safe
Yes, they
distance
do.
from it, or?
They try to keep a safe distance from it, but there's not much they can do because it's far superior weaponality, but it's more of like a like you stay on that side of the land, and if we don't need you, we will come get you. That's their basic arrangement. Now, from what I understand, a lot of the Galactics have finally got themselves into gear and in dealing with these problems from the SSP and all this other stuff. They didn't want to deal with it for a while because their logic was it's not our deal. I mean, that's your deal. We have our own thing. But apparently, in the last year or so, they crossed a lot of lines that they didn't think they would, and they had to. And their response was a lot of the beings. These were some of the beings were demigods that were kind of basically rounded up and said, enough of your crap. Now the only problem they're having is that they had more followers than they realized. So they're having to clean up the mess after the followers because basically the big guys are gone. It's the ones now who are trying to rebuild their lost empires or crap like that.
They're using Mars as their main jumping off point or their main base to do all
Well,
that.
one of them, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
Jupiter itself is a major port area. There's major portals. A lot of the portals have been closed down because they were violating, and they were using them for slavery and stuff. And they were finally shut. The portals were finally shut down. So they're having to travel other ways, which are taking a lot of resources to do, and that's why a lot of the other stuff is so spread out. Because before they could just hop in a portal and boom, they're on the other side. Now they have ships that can do, light travel to go out of dimension, but those still take time. They're not as fast as portals or reliable, and they still have to remove all the resources. So that, and plus, it makes them more of a target as opposed to, because you can't really fire weapons in those portals. You can. They won't really work, and if they do, it'll damage the whole network. So they just don't want to do it. It's kind of like a don't, like, we're in the portal, you can't touch us. It's like kind of like that thing is, but now that they're actually having to use ships, the ships are getting attacked more, and they're fighting more on that one, and they're losing, which is good because this stuff needs to end. The slavery needs to end. The galactic slave trade needs to end. The corruption is ending. A lot of the galactic Senate, it's got new people in it. Or people that are actually caring, because a lot of the times they were corrupt in letting the stuff going on. They were benefiting from it happening. They had a lot of deals with people, because I remember working with these Galactics, and basically they would let us do what we needed to do, and as long as they got their cut. And or in some cases, like the now I'm referring to the Nakhwafen and SSP stuff. A lot of the times people would be go to the Galactics for help, and the Galactics would, say a strongly worded, "Oh, we condemn you, but we're not actually doing anything while benefiting from what we did." So, and the memory you were talking about when I was telling you about, I had gotten some more memories of the SSP. Now, I had left most of the SSP crap behind me because for me, it's no longer beneficial for me. It playing in that field of frequency is there's nothing good there for me. I don't have a lot of good memories. The fact that I know I was there, or a version was me there, I did as much healing as I could, and then I let it go. And that's what needs to happen, because if you play too long in that frequency is going to go housing you, and then you'll start changing, and then it's not good. Now, the memory you were talking about, I was working with someone, and I had found out through the thing that they were basically my adopted son in the programs. And during that time, this person had gone through a massive experiment because, again, space Nazi is going to do space Nazi shit. And that person tried to kill himself. And what happened, they had locked themselves into a virtual reality program, and we couldn't remove them. Now, I remember what had happened was he tried to kill himself, and we couldn't get him out because he was a brilliant, he was a genius at making these programs. So like nothing we did could bring him out. So I remember we had to one of our my servants was a Mantis, said, "Sir, I know someone who may be able to help." And I went and spoke with that person, and the person looked at it and said, "Yes, we can possibly help, but what we want is we want these prisoners released." I said, "If you can get my son out of there, it's done." Now, during the whole process, I was very, very emotional. I was, because like I had come to this place in my mind that, even though this was a version of me or you or whatever, they were Nazis and they had been controlled. But the fact is, they still had human emotions in them. I still cared for my son and I was distraught about it. Now, I was in my office and I was very psychically, very gifted. And I was such a wreck that my powers were losing control of himself. I mean, like the whole place, nothing was getting done. Everyone was in pain. I was just lashing out. And my psychics were just going wild, wild. And I remember you and the other heads of the chief, it's like, someone has to go talk to him, do something for him. And I remember you coming in full battle armor with your shields all the way up. And I'm just like about to rip, I'm about to blow up the entire place because that's how out of control I am.
It was an intervention. Please
It
continue.
was an intervention. Yeah, you came in your full armor, full shields on power, and you walked through the field that I was creating, and you put your hands on my shoulder and you said, "Look, it's in the bug's hands. They're the best at what they ha they're the best in the universe. If anyone can do it, they can do it. You need to relax and let them work." And just that, and that genuine concern for another human being. Granted, I was probably also destroying, making everyone else's life, but you were genuinely concerned for my well-being as a fellow human being, from a father to another father. And that part was so true to me. I was like, that wasn't a screen memory. That wasn't a fake thing. That was true, no matter how. What state we were in, that's who you were. You came through, and as a true friend. Now, I don't know whether it was because you lost a straw or everyone else just said, "You're it." But I thank you for doing that. And that was like one of
Quite all
the.
right. Someone had to do it.
Yeah. But
So
I thank you for
they
that.
basically shanghaied the son some way, pulled him into another dimension, or through a portal, or somehow made off with him, right?
No, no,
And
no, 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 no. He had did it to himself. They had
oh,
brought
that's
him
right.
out, right? So
Oh.
they had to, yeah, because he had literally locked himself into this virtual reality that he made, and we couldn't
Oh.
separate him.
So did you have the physical body was present, except his consciousness was in some kind of weird
Yes.
tesseract setup or something?
Yeah. So, and it took him like a good 2.5 years to recover. The thing was, I made sure that he was never alone again. Like, he had guards with him at all times.
Oh
Some were
yeah.
medical, some were just to make sure he didn't do anything stupid. And I mean, eventually, we split up, and he went on a different road. But we did connect back in this life now, and so it was a really, because I like, no matter how much of a bastard or monster that version of me was, I still genuinely loved him as a son. And he still genuinely loved me as a father. We genuinely had that bond, and it was just a horrible situation. But like I said, that's why I don't go back into that stuff anymore, because there really are no good points for me. The fact that the only point I know was I was there, I did what I needed to do to release it, and I moved on. That's what I can tell anyone about the SSP is, you don't have to integrate every alter. You're not supposed to. Sometimes you're not even going to be able to. What happens is you're taken, you're tortured, and fractured into a new being. That being then has its own life and its own dislikes and likes. And so you're trying to literally force two beings into one that are not one anymore. That's what it is. So just the actual recognition is enough at times. You don't need to integrate. I used to believe you have to integrate everything, because when I first started with this, that's what I was told, you have to integrate. And I talked to someone who knew what they were doing, and I was like, "Dude, I wish I could have met you like 2 years ago. You could have saved me like 2 years of pain." So yeah, he's like, "Yeah, there's other
I
ways to do
always
it."
had my own interpretation of reintegration, and it did not include this notion of necessarily combining all these disparate aspects of yourself. Because some of them would probably be, I'm sure some of them are, so diametrically opposed to us
Yes.
philosophically, morally, spiritually, that I'm not sure I'd want to reintegrate on someone,
And
even though
yes.
it's an aspect of myself, right? It's you talk about the worst of the id, the worst of the inner shadow coming through,
Yes.
and then you hear these techniques, and it seems to be to me to be a lot of work,
It is.
where.
It really is.
Yes, where say a survivor here on Earth and perhaps in other dimensions too, but certainly a lot of the abuse and the trauma occurs on Earth in these cult families, and they wind up having dozens, if not hundreds, of altars. And what some therapists have done is they've created quorums or like committees of them, right? So instead of like working individually with like 20, you break them down into groups of 5 or 12 or whatever the case may be. And then you have a spokesperson for each group when they have concerns, what have you. And even though you're dealing, with a delegate representing an X number of personalities, very real ones, to me, that still sounds like a lot of work for you and your therapist, to keep all this in mind. Thankfully, like I don't have to go through something like that, but I can imagine someone else having those myriad voices in their head, personalities bleeding through, and sometimes momentarily taking over. So you managed to do this organically and realize instinctively that merger wasn't the best thing to do in your particular case.
Yeah, and sometimes just the simple fact, actually a lot of the altars I had to release them. I literally had to acknowledge them. I said, "Look, I love you, but we can't be together. What's over is over," and I release you. And that helps a lot because some of them just could not be integrated. There was just too much damage. There would have been no way I could have done that. I mean, from what I found out from the ones I talked to, I created thousands of altars. They said you've made thousands of altars. They said they won't tell me the exact number because they know it will upset me, but I know it's over 5,000.
Yeah, I've heard cases of SRA survivors where there were dozens and hundreds of them. So that wouldn't surprise me, considering also the fact that, factor in time travel, alternate realities,
And then when they
dimension
take
hopping,
one.
et
And
cetera,
one of the things
yes.
they'll do is they'll take an altar that's been fractured, then they'll clone that altar, then fracture that altar even more. So it's not
Yes.
even you anymore. So
Yes.
there's those as well. But yeah, having to get rid of those and deal with those, it took me a good couple of years. I had to, A, recognize my own thoughts, recognize my patterns, deal with the work, find people I could trust, then find people I couldn't trust because there's everything else on, and just figure out what was important, what was essential, and what was not. Because I don't need all those memories I have, because I have, know I have a lot of everything. A lot of the ETs will go, "But you are such a wealth of knowledge. Can you share with us?" And I'm like, "No. That stuff is gone. It's over. It's in the past. If it's not useful to me in this life, I'm not dealing with it anymore. I'm just, there's no point for me doing that." Then I had a couple ETs a couple weeks ago come up to me, and I've been getting attacked a lot, so I just start fighting them back, no problem. And I go, "You should be more loving and kind." I was like, "I was till I started dealing with you people."
Well, yes, I mean, so often, not the, absolving ourselves of blame or responsibility, but there's just too many players at times, across timelines, across dimensions. I mean, it makes your head swim thinking about it. But we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment. David, do you want to, if people feel so inclined, and if you feel so inclined, you want to give means to get a hold of you if people want to contact you?
You can reach me on Facebook at David Purcell. Just a heads up, I do not accept friends requests from people I do not know. So if you want to talk to me, you can message me before asking for a friends request. I'm also available on Instagram at CactusSmile39, and I think I'm on Telegram. I'm not sure. I think I'm on Telegram too as David Purcell. So those are the three ways you can get to me. Again, if I do not do a friend request, if I have not met you, and if you are a friend of a friend, even if I have, still have not met you, I'm still not going to accept your request. So don't get offended by that. It's just I have to keep tighter circle, deeper roots, because there's a lot of people out there who want stuff that I just can't do and can't get involved with.
So our viewers and listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.